Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. I am super, super excited tonight. Just abounding. I can hardly contain it. I'm trying real hard because I'm standing in front of you guys. But I am so excited because this week, Brother Andrew Roberts is going to arrive in Florida. Next Sunday, he is going to be presenting both of the sermons. I'll actually be out of town, but he will be presenting both sermons, and that will be kicking off his work with this congregation that we pray will last for years and years to come. His children are still in school, and so his family will be following him down here in a couple of weeks at the end of May. But we're going to be moving into a multi-full-time preacher arrangement. This congregation is not new to the idea of multi-workers. That's been happening here for years, but this is the first time that both of the workers are completely and fully supported by the congregation. This is the first time that both of the workers are not doing something else alongside of that. So this is really a new chapter in the congregation, and I am excited about it today. The fact is, today we opened up a new chapter. We appointed another shepherd. We appointed six more deacons, and we're turning another page in that chapter this week as Andrew Roberts adds in to the evangelist. This is a part of that 2016 vision that our shepherds presented for us at the end of last year. And because of your commitment, we've been able to get this far. And we appreciate that and want to say thank you so much. But I want to share with you tonight for just a few moments why two are better than one. And why I am excited. And I hope that by the time we're done tonight, if you're not already excited, that in the next 15 or 20 minutes, you will be just as excited as I am about expanding into this new phase of the work as it's going on here. I'm sorry, but the lesson tonight will be at least a little bit longer than this morning's. But I'm going to try to talk really fast so that we can get it down to that short. But I want to share with you some great things that I hope will be beneficial, that'll show you why I'm so excited about what we've got coming in the next week and then in the years to come. Would you bow with me in prayer before we get into that, please? God and Father in heaven, you are a great God. And while I am excited about our brother Andrew coming here to work with us, what I'm most excited about, of course, as always, is your son who has died for us on the cross. It doesn't matter who is here to preach that message. We know that's the message that gives us life. And we are excited by that. And we're so thankful that we get to share that message with other people. And we pray that you would give us opportunity to share that with our friends and neighbors, that they can know about the sacrifice that your son offered so that their sins could be forgiven, so that they could be free from the burden of sin. And we pray that you will help us to have the courage to tell people about your son and what you all have done for us. And we praise you and thank you and pray that you would be with us as we do that work. Be with this congregation. And again, we pray for our elders and our new elder that was added this morning, Brother Tom Garland. We pray for our deacons and the six men that were added this morning. We pray that you would bless them in their work in this new phase of the congregation here. We pray that all of that will bring glory and honor to your name. Help us tonight to know your word and your will and to lift you up above all things. We love you so much, Father. And we thank you for loving us first. Through your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I am excited that we get to have another brother here working as an evangelist, two preachers working together side by side, planning, working, teaching. I am super excited about this. And one of the reasons I'm very excited about this is because this is us following in the footsteps of the New Testament pattern. Certainly we recognize that there were churches in the New Testament that did not have necessarily an evangelist who was there with them. And we know that there were some, it seems, that for a time may have had just one evangelist with them. But it certainly seems that the overwhelming majority of the time, what we find is men who are proclaiming the gospel working together. At least two, sometimes more than that. And so I am very excited to be able to be a part of a plan that mirrors what we find happening in the New Testament as we long to follow the footsteps. Just think about this. This is how Jesus worked with his apostles in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out, but he did not send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two. And I just have to ask the question, you would think that with 12 guys, he'd want to send them out to 12 different places, but instead he cut it in half and sent them to six places. Why? Because there's something about two being together, working together, that is beneficial. He sent them out two by two. And then in Luke chapter 10, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72. A lot of translations say 70. There's some textual difference there in some, but 70 or 72 others. And he sent them ahead of him. And here's where all the translations get it the same. He sent them out two by two. Why did he do that? Because there's something about brothers working together to proclaim the gospel. This is how Jesus worked with his disciples. This is how the apostles, when they started doing their work and there were the apostolic travels, this is how they worked two by two. In fact, in Acts chapter 13, and verse 2, the Holy Spirit himself speaks to the teachers that were there at the Antioch congregation and says in Acts chapter 13 and 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. When the Holy Spirit wanted to separate out men to go spread that gospel, he sent them out as a team, not just as one person going, but he sent out these two men together. And then when those two men, Paul and Barnabas, had a little bit of a disagreement and decided to part ways in Acts chapter 15, at the end of Acts chapter 15 and verse 39 and 40, a disagreement arose between them. Not over doctrine, not over teaching, but over who was going to go with them on this trip. Because you see, they weren't just going to take just the two. Barnabas wanted to bring another fellow along. He said, two's not enough. We need a third cord in this strand. But it was John Mark who had left them in the last trip. And so there's a disagreement about this. But notice what happens. When they have the disagreement and they go their separate ways, they don't just split up and go individually. They both take someone else along with them. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 39, there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Barnabas left and took Mark with him. Paul didn't just say, okay, fine, I'll go off on my own. He grabbed Silas and said, hey, we need to go. Why? Because there's something about multiple people working together that God finds beneficial. And I am excited to be a part of that. But it's not just this. We also recognize in some of the local congregations that it wasn't just about having one person doing this work. We can look at the Jerusalem congregation. In Acts chapter 2. At the end of this, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we always talk about verse 38. Y'all know what that one says, right? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We'll talk about that one again at the end of the lesson. This one I want you to notice, Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42, that's the one I want you to notice now. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Not just to one apostle, but to the apostles' teaching. How many of them were there? There were 12 of them, and I understand their role as apostle, but here, that role also accomplished that role of evangelist and preacher and proclaimer who was teaching the gospel. All 12 men doing that work in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. When there was some need for some folks to take care of the widows, here's what they said, these 12 men, that somebody else has got to do this work. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Here, all 12 of these men had their lives fully devoted to this ministry of the word. And then we recognize that Antioch church again in Acts chapter 13. We read verse 2 where the Holy Spirit pulled off Paul and Barnabas and sent them on their way. But notice what it says in chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for me. Here were five men that were all a part of the work at Antioch that were devoting their lives to teaching. Why do we see this again and again and again? I'll tell you why. Because two are better than one. Because it's good for people to be able to work together to accomplish the will of God. I am excited to be a part of that. I'm excited for us as a congregation because this new page in our work is going to help us fill our discipleship circle. This is going to help us fill our discipleship circle. If you're our guest, you don't know much about this. But if you stick around with us for a while, you're going to hear about it. And I hope that our members are well aware what's about to appear on the screen. I hope you can already picture it in your mind. You know what it says. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who honors God, learns from God, loves like God, points others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. This is what we have recognized about a disciple of Jesus Christ. We've gone through this and explained this, and this is kind of our model for what we're trying to do as we reach out. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. As it highlights, as Jesus gave that great commission to his apostles, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature under heaven. Making disciples, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. See, now I'm mixing Acts 2:38 again. Maybe I should just be preaching on Acts 2:38 tonight. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. We recognize that our role here is to make and develop disciples. But that's not just making people who've been baptized. That's not just making church members. That's making people who've grown to be like their master, Jesus Christ, who was someone who honored the Father, who learned from the Father, who loved like the Father, who pointed others to the Father, all while abiding in the Father's Word. And that's what we're striving to do. Now we recognize, as we've put this together, that we have processes by which we accomplish these things. Honoring God, we have our Sunday assemblies right now. This is what we are doing as a church to help you grow as a disciple to honor God. Learning from God, whoops, wrong button. Learning from God. Well, we have our weekly classes on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7:30. We have those classes so that a disciple can grow and take that next step of discipleship growth and learn from God. Right here, loving like God. We have our house-to-house meetings. We just wrapped up one of our sessions. Summer's a little bit up in the air. We're working on that, but we're either going to have a brief summer session or we're going to get back to that in the fall. But we have the house-to-house meetings that are helping us learn to love like God. And if you have not been a part of that, I just want to encourage you. Let that be your next step of discipleship growth, to be involved in relationship with other brothers and sisters outside of this assembly. But our problem is right here, point others to God. Now, obviously, in our sermons, we tell people to point others to God, and I would encourage you, invite people to our assemblies. Invite people to study the Bible with you. Invite people to pray with you. But right now we don't have a process for this. And what are we doing here? Well, that's one of the reasons we got to bring Andrew along. I'm kind of swamped. And need some help. And the fact is, if we were going to wait for me to be able to go ahead and populate this, it's going to be a while with the process because I'm busy working on this one. Even today we had our first Getting to Know Livingston class, our prospective members class. And so several people showed up for it. I think it went great. The people at the end of it told me it went great. I hope they weren't just being nice to me. But I think it was very beneficial. A lot of work going on there. But we need some more things here, the process that will make this work. And I don't have time to do all that. There's just so much that we're working on already, maintaining this. Well, Andrew's going to come along, and that's going to help be able to accomplish this work, giving more time so we can do this. You know, here's the interesting thing. I am not excited about this because now I'll preach one lesson less a week. You know, a lot of people are okay with having two evangelists. They're kind of shocked about Jerusalem having 12 and Antioch having 5. I mean, why would they need 5? There's only 2 sermons a week. Some of you got it. Thank you. That's kind of what we think. You know, the reality here is even if we only had one sermon a week, we would need Brother Andrew to come and work with us. Why? Because there's so much more than just what happens up on the stage on Sunday. Even if we were only having one sermon a week, we would still need him because we need to finish filling this out. And I have to tell you, I am just so excited about this. Andrew and I have already been talking. Even though he's not here yet, we've spent hours over Skype or FaceTime. Over FaceTime, talking with one another, coming up with ideas and plans. And I am super excited about a plan that he's already working on for us to fill in this slot. We've already shared with the elders, and they're excited about the plan. And I don't want to say too much because I want him to be able to get here and talk to you in the coming months. But he's going to be working over the next 6 months on some tools that will allow us to have a process here in place that each and every one of us who are interested in pointing others to God can be involved in that. The plan is by the first week of January 2017 to have some tools in place that you, if you want to sit down with someone and point them to God, you'll be able to do that. I am so excited about that. And it's just something that I wouldn't have time to be able to work on if I was working here alone. But together, as we divide up this work, we're going to be able to work on that. I'm excited for us. I'm excited because it's going to allow us to fill out our discipleship circle so that we can have disciples who honor God, who learn from God, who love like God, who point others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. And I hope that you will be excited about that as well. And frankly, I'm excited just because God explains it. Two are better than one. Two are better than one. There's all kinds of reasons, but look again where we started. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two are better than one. And I especially appreciate that very first statement that he makes there. Two are better than one because they have a greater reward for their labor and their toil. When two are working together, the toil and the reward for the toil and the labor that is accomplished, it's not just something that's an addition property. It doesn't even grow multiplicatively. That's a hard word to say. Rather, it grows exponentially. It is amazing when two come alongside each other because of the support that they can give each other. It's not just like adding their strengths together. It's squaring the strengths. That's not because preachers are squares. But it's exponential increase in the work. As we come alongside each other, encourage one another, help lift each other up when there's discouragement. All those things as it pushes forward, it's going to be so much work that we're going to be able to accomplish. In fact, this is the way I've tried to explain it. Because of this division of labor that we're going to be able to have, I know for me personally, it means I'll be able to do the work I'm doing better. I'll be able to do better work because of the time that will be freed up to be able to devote to it rather than being divided over some of the things that Andrew will be able to take care of. But it is going to allow me to do more of what I've been doing. For a lot of the work, it's going to allow me to be able to do more of that. Studies with people, encouraging folks, developing material. Allow me not only to do better at what I'm doing, but do more of it. And I know Andrew feels the same way. And it's also going to free up time to do new work. New things that we'll be able to add in and be a part of these processes that we are accomplishing. That's what's going to happen. Because we're bringing in another work, we'll be able to do better work, do more of what we've been doing, and do new things that we have not been able to do because there's just not time. And I think about that very last statement there in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12. Though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Some would suggest that third cord is a reference to God himself. And that may be true. It may just refer to the more you get on the team, the better it is. But it may refer to God. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Whether or not that's true, I want to make this commitment to you. And I know Andrew will make this commitment. And in 2 weeks, on the 15th in the evening, we're going to make a presentation that explains what work we're doing, how that's going to be divided up, so you can see the specifics about that. But the first thing that we even have on that presentation is about the fact that we understand that the third cord in our relationship must be God. And we've already, in our phone calls and in our FaceTimes, have already talked about preparations and plans to make sure that God is a part of the working relationship that we're going to be having. Because we remember what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, the scripture says, "What then is Andrew and what is Edwin? Servants through whom you have believed as the Lord assigned to each. Andrew planted, Edwin watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." I know, being the Bible students you are, that you understand Paul actually talked about Paul and Apollos. But we realize this is applying to us. That it's not us. There's no growth that we can cause. It's not, boy, we've got these two preachers and look at all the great work that they can do and that's going to cause all kinds of growth. It's just not true. It just can't happen. Growth only comes from one person, and that's God. And we understand that for this relationship to be beneficial to us and to the congregation here, God has to be that third cord. And we are making sure that's the case. And I am excited. I am excited about that, to be able to have that brother who comes alongside and to work, because the fact is, two are better than one. We see that over and over and over again. And I hope that you can see that. And I hope that you can be as excited as I am about our brother. I hope that you will be praying for him this week as he's going to be traveling. Pray for his wife and his kids, because they're going to be separated for a couple of weeks as he goes ahead and gets the work started here, and she continues with there as they're finishing out school. They were able to sell their house pretty quickly, and I know that's because you guys were praying for that. Help them in prayer as they're trying to close on a house here. Some of you know that what can happen when you're trying to buy a house, and it's a whole lot easier to buy than to sell. I know that, but it can still be a problem. So pray for them as they're making that change. Pray for their kids. You know what? I can tell you from experience, moving, even in the Lord's work, is tough on a family. So pray for them about that. The transition's not always easy. They've been where they are for the last 15 years. In fact, it's the only congregation his kids know. He started preaching there, and that's the place he's been the whole time. And he's done a great work there. He really has. You can talk to Michael Gordon. He was there. You lived there for a little while he was there, right? Yeah. So his parents used to be there. They've moved on. They knew Andrew was going to leave. They decided it was time to get out. But he's going to be here. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited I can hardly think straight. So let's talk about Acts 2:38. Pray for Andrew. Pray for us. Pray for this work. It's going to be exciting. Two are better than one. You can go ahead and put your Bibles away now if you would like. I would say get out your songbooks, but Brother Wickersheim has been talking to Benjamin Payne too much. And our song tonight is not from the book. It's just going to be on the screen behind me. What the Lord has done in me. Is that right? Yeah, what the Lord has done in me. Well, we've already preached on it three times tonight, so we might as well remember what it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And the thing about it is here's what I know. I'm so excited and brains frazzled. Even though I've quoted it when I was trying to quote other things, I know I'll get it wrong. So I'm just going to read it. Here's what it says. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The salvation that comes from God, His presence with you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. When Andrew gets here, we're going to be telling people about Jesus who died on the cross. And we're going to be telling folks about how to die with Him. Immersed in water, raised to walk in newness of life, as Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says. If we can help you with that tonight, if we can help you surrender to Jesus, or if you need to ask for the prayers of the congregation, or you need to share with the congregation some spiritual struggle that you've been facing, or you need some spiritual help from us, we're giving you this opportunity. We're going to be singing this song now, and we invite you, if we can help you in any way, come forward right now as we stand and sing.